Luke chapter 5. This morning we're going to look at God's master plan for evangelism. God's master plan for evangelism. Being Missions Month, let's focus on getting involved in the missions outreach of this church. So what can we learn from our Lord concerning missions and being involved in world evangelism from this passage of Scripture this morning? Are you willing to be involved? I trust you are. For God so loved the world. And a life in tune with God is a life that has the same love as God has. And God loves the world, so should you and I have a great love for people. Almost 8 billion people. Only God knows the exact number. But we would estimate some 8 billion people living on planet Earth today. Each one has an eternal soul. And if we really believe our Bibles, whether you believe it or not, it's true, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And we in Christ Jesus have a responsibility. Are you willing to be involved in the missions program of this church in 2019? I trust your answer to that is yes, Pastor.
Yes.
Let me add it. Okay, well, let's learn from the life of our Lord Jesus this morning some principles concerning our Master's plan for evangelism. Note here in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," or the lake of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we've been reminded this morning concerning your amazing grace. And we are thankful that we can have a rest within our souls this morning as the people of God. We ask now that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would teach us from your precious word. And Lord God, I pray if there are some that do not know in a very personal way of that amazing grace and that rest, that peace within the soul, Lord, I pray that you might draw these ones unto yourself this morning. And Lord God, we ask for those of us that know you personally that you would enlarge our hearts for world evangelism. Not only this day, but in the coming days. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God's master plan for evangelism begins with you and I understanding that God has given us a great commission. At the end of verse number 10, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, James and John, in their midst, Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." What are some principles that we can learn from verses 1 to 11 that will help us, that will encourage us, that will remind us and stir us afresh concerning the need to catch men for the glory of God? Well, the first point I'd like to make is found within the word pressed there in verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him. Pressed upon who? Pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The word pressed there means literally to hover over, to lie upon. The crowd was in our Lord's face, literally. They pressed upon him. They intruded upon his private area. We like to keep our distance from people, do we not? At least most of us do not converse one to another, nose to nose. Touch my nose and then I'll have a few words to you. Oh, no, no. He said, let's keep our distance. Well, the people pressed upon our Lord. They were in his face, literally. Why? Well, note then verse number 1. To hear the word of God. They wanted to hear the word of God. Why were the multitude pressing upon our Lord? Why were they surrounding him, encroaching upon him? Because the Bible teaches us they wanted to hear the word of God. The people were hungry for the word of God. They no doubt recognized they had needs and they believed that Jesus Christ could meet their needs and they wanted to hear the word of God. As we consider missions, as we consider God's master plan for evangelism, which is worldwide missions, may I remind you, beloved, first and foremost, not everybody, listen to me carefully, not everybody is disinterested in Christianity. For what does the Bible teach? They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. We tend to have the mindset that there are not many that have a thirst for God. Now, that might be true to an extent around our little micro worlds. But we need to be mindful that the majority of the world is simply waiting to hear the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not everybody is disinterested. And I think sometimes we have this mindset that our opinion is correct. What we think is the absolute correct judgment on a matter. And we'll make statements like, well, For me, I tried so-and-so, it didn't work. So hang on, that is gospel then? It didn't work for you? That's our mindset. We are so opinionated, it's pathetic. We convince ourselves that our judgment is correct. So we live it our lives and we find that within Sydney, Australia, because people have want of nothing, that nobody's interested. But beloved, may I remind you, Australia, including cats and dogs and cockroaches, has little more than 25 million people. But the world is up to 8 billion people. And the majority of the world is yet to hear the message of eternal life. And beloved, for you and I as God's people, we need to break out of that micro mind and we need to understand that most of the world is yet to hear the name of Jesus Christ. would love dearly to hear of a Saviour that offers forgiveness and life eternal, that offers the peace and joy of God. That's the majority of the world, and that's the world that you and I are called upon to reach. Did not our Lord Jesus say in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest." How were they here without a preacher? And just like the multitude pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us to hear the Word of God, may I submit to you and I, my friend, this morning, as we consider missions, missions month, missions emphasis, world evangelism, not everybody is disinterested. And you and I can be involved in the missions program of this church, where men and women will go and obey the Great Commission with great compassion, and there will be people that will want to hear. But how will they hear without a preacher? But how will they hear without a preacher? My Bible teaches me, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how will they hear without a preacher? So to an extent, within our little micro worlds that we live in, it might not seem like many people are interested, but may I remind you, my friend, there's a lot more people interested than what you think, than what you realize. Don't be fooled. But the majority of the world is yet to hear the message of hope, that there is forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. So that's my initial challenge this morning, that there are people waiting to hear the gospel. And then note then verse number 2, Luke records that there were two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were not in the boat, they were on the shore mending or washing, caring for their nets. So as the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to hear the Word of God, Luke, the author of this book, notes two boats parked by the lake. And he also notes that the fishermen were washing their nets. They were maintaining the nets. The boats were unoccupied. The men were taking care of general maintenance. Men are the means of fishing. The boats, the nets were not being used at this time. The men were occupied with other things. Not bad things, necessary things. But not the main thing. My friend, God's means of catching men is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God needs willing vessels. God chooses to use people, not angels. The means to catch fish is nets, and the means to catch people is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of hope that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, providing forgiveness, eternal life for all mankind, for all that will repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. See, it's within the waters. That's where the fish are. Fish are not on the shore. If they are, they're dead. You probably don't want to bother with them. Eternal souls are on the waters. And we can catch men for the glory of God with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in verse 10, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Park boats with unused nets on dry land will guarantee the fact that you will not catch any fish. Am I right or not? But boats in the water with fish carry out their lives. And by fishermen actively casting out their nets will guarantee in time that they will catch fish. My friend, is your life parked? Or are you in the waters where the fish are? Are we in the waters where the fish are on a personal level, seeking to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Right where we live. Are we involved in the missions program of this church? See, there's nothing wrong with maintenance. There's nothing wrong with, from time to time, those fishing boats being set aside. But boats are made to float in water. I'm not much of a fisherman. I think it's a waste of time. Personally, I thank God for seafood shops. I thank God for the fish markets. But this idea of investing in a fishing rod and going down to the local lake and doing this and wasting all this time fiddling with smelly pieces of whatever in order to catch a fish, to me, that's senseless. Forgive me. I haven't seen the light yet. I don't see the point of that. I think you're better off going down to the fish markets and buy your fish. And all of God's people said. Well, at least some of us say amen. But. Okay. It takes a long time to catch a fish. It takes some effort. It's never appealed to me. Tried it once, didn't catch anything. I'll never do that again. But beloved, if you and I are to catch men, we need to be in the boat. We need to be on the waters. We need to be casting out the nets. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Note there in Acts chapter 1, please, verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It reads, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, or at the same time." Where? In Jerusalem. In all Judea. In Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, you and I as God's people need to keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, there is needful. We need time to mend our nets, so to speak. Take care of maintenance. But beloved, the main thing is the main thing. And that is to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A boat parked and nets on the shore will not guarantee a catch. You've got to be where the fish are. And God has made boats to float on water. Man has created boats. God's given them the ability to create a boat that floats on water. And so likewise, God has chosen you and I as His vessels in sharing the gospel with others. But we need to be out where the fish are. We need to endeavor to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Note then verse number 3, please, of Luke chapter 5. "And as the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus to hear the word of God," in the third verse it reads, "He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." So these boats that were parked on the lake were fishing boats. This one was Simon Peter's boat, the Bible teaches us. "And our Lord Jesus prayed him," or besought him, he begged him, "that he would thrust out a little from the land. And as he did so," the Lord Jesus, "he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship." Because there were so many people, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, may we borrow your boat and let's just go out a little into the water. And from that point, the Lord Jesus addressed the multitude there on the shore and taught them the Word of God. See, it's one thing to hear good doctrine. It's another thing to have a teachable spirit. Let me ask you this morning, are you teachable when it comes to thus saith the Lord? Are you teachable when it comes to thus saith the Lord? What about the realm of missions? Are you prepared to hear the Word of God? See, the people wanted to hear the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus honored their hunger, and he taught the people out of the ship, the Bible teaches us, in the third verse. Do you have a teachable spirit? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering to usward. Who is the usward? You. Me. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh yes, God is long-suffering to those without Christ. But may I submit to you that God is long-suffering to you and I. As God's people, we have a job to do. Jesus Christ is coming again. He can come back at any moment. And we need to be about the Master's business. Amen? Are you teachable? My Bible teaches me in Psalm 9, verse 17. Let's turn there, please. Why quote it when we can look at it? Psalm 9, 17. A sobering verse. My friend, if you and I are serious about world evangelism and missions, we need to be teachable. The people pressed upon the Lord Jesus. They wanted to hear the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus taught them. Here in Psalm 9, verse 17, it reads, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Just allow God to teach you from that. What is God trying to teach us? The wicked shall be turned into hell. Wicked. Hell. Wicked hell. And all those nations that forget God. The wicked and those that forget God. The wicked and those that have no time for God, they will be turned into hell. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But how shall they hear without a preacher? Will you allow God to teach you this month? You no doubt will be challenged throughout the remainder of this month about the need for world evangelism. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them all things that I've commanded you." Do we as pupils of our Lord take seriously his teachings? Especially when it comes to reaching eternal souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you be teachable during this month of missions? See, not everybody is disinterested. We need to raise that out of our minds. There are people that want to hear the gospel. And yes, even within your little micro world, you might be surprised. There are people that have an interest deep down, because God has placed within all mankind a knowledge of himself. There are no true atheists. That's why God tells us not only once or twice in the Bible, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Because there is really no such thing. People that call themselves an atheist, they're lying to themselves. Because the Bible teaches us that we have a knowledge within concerning a creator, and we have the knowledge without that there is a creator. So man is without excuse, is he not? So don't buy the devil's lie that, oh, most people are not interested in the gospel. Listen to me. Almost 8 billion people in the world, I guarantee you, the majority of the world has an interest in life eternal, has an interest in forgiveness, has an interest in peace and joy. Amen. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to be in the boat where the fish are, casting out our nets. We need to be teachable. Lord, teach me. Teach me about world evangelism this month. And then note then verse number 4. After a season of teaching, in verse number 4 it reads, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Many people surrounded our Lord. He taught them from a boat, looking back onto the shore. But after he taught the multitude, he made a request to Simon Peter. It was his boat. Simon Peter, launch out into the deep. We're going to take care of some fishing. Simon was asked to take the boat out into the deeper waters. Why? Well, he's about to teach them how they can catch men. See, God did not call perfect people to fulfill his work. God has called those that have tasted the good word to pass on the good word to others. Instead of idleness, God calls us to obey. And we need to move beyond our immediate little worlds that we might touch the lives of others. The deep reminds us of the regions beyond. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. Mark reads, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. See, Jesus Christ said to Simon Peter, now it's time for us to launch out into the deep. When we get involved in the missions program of the church, we are moving beyond those that we can touch physically with the gospel, are we not? And we are investing in ministries. Look, there's about 50 of them back there behind you. We are investing in ministries that will touch the lives of others with the precious gospel message. And our support prayerfully and materially enables them, equips them, supplies them with the means to pass on the gospel to others. What a privilege. So you and I need to be prepared. Just as the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter, let's launch out into the deep. What for? For a catch. We're going to catch some fish. Faith is so essential in advancing our mission's arm. Because we get behind these missionaries by faith, do we not? And by faith we trust God to honor his word. The gospel. The Lord Jesus said there, launch out in the deep, verse 4, let down your nets for a catch. You're going to catch fish. We're going to go fishing with purpose. The Lord Jesus made it clear the purpose of going out in the deeper waters was not just to catch a little bit extra of vitamin D, but it was to catch fish. This was not a relaxing exercise. Jesus Christ said, well, let's just go out into the deep and let's just spend some time on our own. No, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, we're going to go out into the deep. We're going to catch some fish. We're going to go fishing. My friend, whenever God leads you, He leads with purpose. God is not purposeless. Our Lord Jesus wanted to make it very clear to Simon Peter, the whole point of this exercise is that I'm going to teach you a very valuable lesson. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men, in verse 10. And as we consider our involvement in missions, it is for the ultimate end of seeing men, women and children come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ the Savior. And we have the privilege of co-laboring with our missionaries that are there in the deep, so to speak, endeavoring to win people to Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's of no value. Launch out into the deep. That requires some effort. But God is very purposeful. Note Simon Peter's response there in verse number 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, he was very polite to our Lord, Master, Rabbi, we have toiled all the night, we have worked tirelessly all night, and we have taken nothing. Note the pessimism in Simon Peter. Simon informed our Lord, as if he didn't know, that they had been fishing all night and caught nothing. That's why I don't like fishing. If you can guarantee me you'll catch a fish every time you do this, I'll do it. Then to me, it'd be purposeful. Anyway, let's move on. They'd fished all night. Look, we've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. And the Lord Jesus had to deal with their doubt. And I think sometimes we can be faithless as well. And beloved, look, we just need to serve God in the present because God has commanded us to serve Him. It's God that produces the fruit. It's God that will enable us to catch fish. And God is looking for obedience. What's your excuse for not reaching out? I know that some people won't go door knocking. We, every week, go from door to door knocking on people's door, not to harass them, but to welcome them to our church family and to invite men, women and children to our church. To what end? That they might hear the gospel and be saved. And there are some Christians that have believed the lie, well, it doesn't work. That's rubbish. How do you think Jehovah's Witnesses, how do you think JWs build their churches? Talk to me. The chief means is how? How? By doing this. See, they're out there in the deep, are they not? Fish don't tend to come to shore and say, catch me, here I am. I've been waiting all day for you. No. You've got to surprise them. Do you not? Beloved, you and I need to deal with our pessimism and believe that God is God. See, Peter initially said, Lord, may I remind you, we have fished all night and caught nothing. But, look at verse number 5, nevertheless, he had a change of tune. Praise God for that. Changed his tune. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. Our Lord Jesus did not comment on Simon's assessment. But no doubt, Simon Peter said, nevertheless, he came to his senses and he no doubt said to himself, well, this is our Lord. I know it's been a period of time since we've caught any fish, but he's telling us to go out and we'll catch fish and we'll just do it. Because God said it. This is what we call obedience. By faith. My friend, the just shall live by faith. And beloved, you and I as God's people, by faith will cast our bread upon the waters. Ecclesiastes 11:1. And the Bible teaches us if we do so, we will reap a harvest. It will return unto us after many days. If God calls, God enables. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the nets. That's what faith promise missions giving is all about. We seek God's will. God gives us direction as to our part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. We trust God to provide. We launch out the deep. We give accordingly. And we trust God to provide as we do what God has called us to do. That's missionary giving. That's supporting missionaries. Nevertheless, at thy word, see, the missions program, if this church is to grow in reaching this world for Christ, then we need to just take God at his word and deal with our pessimistic, doubtful spirits. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down my nets, said Simon Peter. Then note there what takes place in verses 6 and 7. Are you still with me? Look at verse 6 and 7. And when they had this done. Note the wording there. Very specific. And when they had this done. Not before. They by faith obeyed Christ. They let down their nets. And once they had let down their nets, where? In the water. What does the Bible teach? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their nets began to break, the Bible teaches us. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now these are the same waters that Simon Peter had been out fishing on the night before and had caught nothing. And how is it now they've caught so much fish, so many, to the point that their boats began to sink. Now these shipping vessels were not that large. We envision in our minds these big fishing vessels from here to the back wall. The average fishing vessel in the biblical time went from this wall till about here. That's it. That's the fishing vessel. That's why the boat began to sink and the nets began to break, and that's why they had to call in the recruits. Ah, but what's the point? The point is, beloved, the just shall live by faith. And if you and I just do what God has called us to do by faith, God will give the increase. Amen. As we support these missionaries out of a heart of compassion, they will catch fish. Look at verse number 8. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. As Simon Peter witnessed this great miracle, he humbly acknowledged God's power and his own inability. And my friend, this morning, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, as we seek to be involved in the missions program of this church, we need to understand that we are nothing and God is everything. Simon Peter was a professional fisherman. He was out there fishing all night and caught how many fish? None. He was a professional fisherman. But in spite of that, he chose to obey the word of God, and then he caught fish. And God was teaching Simon Peter as he was teaching James and John, and as he wants to teach you and I, the hope of this world does not lie in you and I. The hope of this world lies in the message of the gospel, Jesus Christ. And we just need to do our part. We just need to do our part and share that message with others. And God will give the increase. But Pastor, I'm an expert. I've studied psychology. Well, fail. People that study psychology today have problems. The majority of people that study psychology have problems. That's why they're studying psychology. They're after answers. I'll give you that. That's free. Oh, but Pastor, I'm an expert. I understand the human mind, and we're living in the 21st century. Nobody's interested in the gospel. That's a lie of the devil. 8 billion people. And you and I need to get out in the deep, cast out our nets, and we'll catch fish. In obedience to the Word of God. And I challenge you, child of God, this is Mission Month. This is our heart passion. This is what keeps Metropolitan Baptist Church on the map. That's why we're still on the map after 44 years. Because this has been at the heart of our existence. And I'm honored and privileged to be a part of a church family that gives more away to missions every week than spends on their weekly budget. You realize that? We give away more than what we spend on our weekly budget. Hands down. That's why God has blessed this church. And that's why God will continue to bless this church. So let me encourage you. Let's get in the boat. Let's go out into the deep. Oh, Pastor, I don't like deep waters. Come on, you can do it. Come on. Let's go. Let's launch out in the deep. But Pastor, there's no fish out there. There's no fish in the Sea of Galilee. Now today there ain't much. That's a proven fact. But back in our Lord's day, that was it. There were fish in the Sea of Galilee. And my friend, there are 8 billion fish alive on planet Earth today, and they need the gospel. Let's launch out in the deep. What is it that God wants you to do for His sake and for His glory during this missions year? Is God calling you to the mission field? Or is God simply saying, I want you, my son, to take seriously the need to get the gospel out? You do your part, I'll do my part, and let's reach this world for Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.